CL, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg in Focus.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I've listened to it. It's a great product, a great way to get out there and tell your story to the community. We appreciate it.
Well, that's what we want to do today, is tell the story of community banks. And we'll just start with the basics here. When people hear the term community bank, what exactly does that mean? And what does it mean to you as the president of the bank?
Well, it's a pretty wide-ranging, I think the Fed defines that as anything under $10 billion, which is a pretty large swath of banks.
So it really is a defining, it is a term.
Okay. Now we think of it, when you ask me or we talk to people in the community, I think the first thing they think of is small hometown banks, which, you know, it has its pluses and minuses in terms of branding or how people think of those things. But I always think of it that we're still that place where you can walk in and talk to a person. You don't have to, get diverted to a call center or that sort of thing. The people that, you know, that you're dealing with are real people living here in the community. They're easy to find. I experience that if I'm in the grocery store, I have people stop me and say, I've got a quick question. And, you know, 30 minutes later, we're still talking about it, but that's enjoyable. You want people to think of you that way in a lot of ways. Yeah.
But you're also seeing them at the, like you said, seeing them at the grocery store, at the baseball game. And you're supporting local, which we're going to get into a lot of these in a little more detail. But it's supporting local organizations,
very
local
much
events.
So. Yep. Yeah. When you're doing business with a community bank, it's the money. Your local money stays local, and that's kind of, we're supposed to be those stewards, that intermediary relationship by gathering public, you know, the community money, lending it back out, people who have the money to people who need the money, and doing so in a responsible way. And that's kind of our home run swing.
Many people assume that all banks operate pretty much the same way. What are some differences that customers might notice when they, you know, come to a community bank like Tompkins?
Well, you know what, in short, I would say that the thing that I did work at a larger, I won't say who, but I've worked at a larger institution and did fine. They have their pluses, but to me, there's no better way to go than a community bank like at Tompkins. Our business model is kind of malleable to the communities we serve. So we have certain things that of course we have to pay attention to, and we got regulations and policies and like anybody else, but our advantage is we get to kind of adapt to the community need. And I can give you examples of that all day, but it's whereas the bigger bank, there's the model, and if you don't fit in it, and I think that's why they struggle in smaller communities, that they don't always fit into the same.
Meaning whether that's a personal account for me or a business, if you don't fit what their idea of a customer should be, customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And to get an exception to those kind of things is like moving a mountain.
Is
having worked in that environment, it's rigid.
Yeah.
It's rigid on purpose, and I don't fault them for it, but I don't think it plays as well in rural communities and even decent sized communities. Yeah. There's on the micro level, that's, you know, we even try to tailor the solution to the individual. So if Chris wants to start, you know, Chris's Sporting Goods and Music Center, you know, I've got this great idea, and you went to a large bank, if it didn't conform to kind of what they're looking for, you know, that's kind of the end of the story. Whereas we can say, Chris, let's have a talk, you know, let's see if we can get creative here. And we win a lot of business doing that very thing.
We're talking with C.L. Cummings. He's the president of Tompkins State Bank, and we're talking about community banks, and to your point, being a community bank allows you to respond differently to customer needs.
Based on if
it's a good idea.
If it's a good idea. Yeah. And good ideas don't always conform to a standard model.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So that's one thing that I think we do better than most, and certainly better than the big banks, is that we have the ability to, I mean, we're all old guys there to some degree. We still got a lot of gas in the tank, but if you look around, we've got a guy with nearly 50 years experience. I've got 31. Joe Thompson, he's got 31 years. Brad Clark, nearly, you know, 30 some years.
Yeah.
You spoke with, you know, Chris Renaud, our new guy is not new. He's been around for 20 some years. And I think combined, when I looked at the top seven, it was over 200 years experience. So we get to take that experience and then kind of adapt it to customer need. And when the good news about that kind of experience is you can see what's worked and what hasn't worked over a course of time.
Yeah.
And try to maybe help guys say, here, that's a great idea, but here's might be some pitfalls we should be careful of. Yeah. And here's some things that have worked in the past for other folks we've spoken to. Yeah.
Well, I know talking with Chris, we talked a lot about ag.
Yeah.
But I think this translates to just about everything you do. When you've got a community bank that you work with and have a relationship with, it really is about, I'll just call CL.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just call CL. You know, I'm thinking about this. Why don't I just give him a call? And you can do that and actually get you
absolutely
on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most of the time, some of my customers be like, man, he's always on the phone. So yeah. If I'm not already on the phone, then yeah, I'll pick up and talk, or if I'm not in a meeting. But I know that, a lot of these folks have my cell number. So it doesn't really matter. It's morning, noon, or night. Just this Sunday morning, I had a text exchange with a customer who had an idea and said, hey, can I come speak with you, early this week? I've got this thing I got going on. I'm like, absolutely. I should have some time on this date, whatever. So, you don't usually get that at a big bank. No. You've got a call and then are rerouted a few times and typically get a voicemail. That's so, right.
And again, it's that small town relationship because, you work for the bank, but you're also a member of the community.
Absolutely.
And you see these folks at school events, you see them at the community events, like you said, the grocery store.
And 99.9% of the time, that's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
On occasion, if you've maybe had, a loan go bad, or you've had to have a difficult conversation or something, that you're also living and breathing in the same. But I would argue that also keeps the humanity to it, because you if you have to let somebody go or something that works for you, or if you have a loan that just didn't work, there's that thing in the back of your mind that says, listen, this is a human. I'm going to see this person at the school. I'm going to see it. Right. And I don't want that to be awkward for either one of us.
That's right.
So it changes that communication style and maybe your course of dealing to remember, I've got a job to do, but I'm also dealing with another human in which I'm going to continue to have existence with. So
we all have to live together.
Absolutely. So it really does, good or bad, paint how you deal with people.
That's right. Yeah. C.L. Cummings is the president of Tompkins State Bank in Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg. I'd like to take a step back here and talk about you.
Sure.
You grew up around this area.
Knoxville, graduated from Knoxville High School.
That's right.
And then took off briefly to go to Illinois State down in Normal, so didn't get too far down the road.
Yeah. And did you always want to get into banking? Was that the trajectory?
No, I had no intention. I started off, I was going to be an accountant, and when I got to school, I decided, man, this is pretty sleepy stuff. So I moved into finance, and it's weird how things turn out. I ended up in marketing. And in the position I ended up with, God works in mysterious ways. I ended up using all three of those things. So I came back here and I was going to head out to Arizona to go hang out with a friend of mine who was starting a business. I was going to try to go down there and, stake my claim in Phoenix area or something. And end up meeting my wife, girlfriend at the time, and stuck around. And I got let go from the job I had before. They downsized me. I said, they told me, hey, CL, I was the marketing manager. I said, CL, we're doing away with marketing because we've outgrown our facilities, and we can't make promises to people about additional orders.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a pause until we find a larger facility. And I said, what am I going to do? And they looked at me and they're like, no, that includes you. just so you know, that. So
good luck.
I answered an ad in the paper, and it was, at the time, it was F&M Bank. I started there, went from F&M to a bank in Burlington briefly, and then came back here, and then that's when I got the call from Tompkins, and I've been here 21 years almost.
My gosh, so, 21 years with Tompkins.
Yeah, a little over 30 years in banking now. It's crazy.
So how did you get, when you went to Tompkins, you went in as a
I came in. They were just about to build the facility in Knoxville.
Yeah,
and they wanted a guy from Knoxville.
Has Knoxville been open that long?
20 years
that
in February.
Is shocking.
Yeah,
that is hard to believe. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, that's
That was such a big thing when it happened.
And it feels like a blink. I mean, they got a hold of me and said, hey, we'd like for somebody to help us get this thing started. And they asked me what my background was, et cetera. And just, it was a weird confluence of everything that they needed. I just happened to do. It was kind of serendipitous or whatever.
Fate. Sure.
It's fate. Yeah. I mean, they needed somebody that had some retail experience. And so could manage a branch, mm-hmm. which I had done some of before. They needed, in a perfect world, somebody who knew ag, which I did.
Yeah.
I'd been ag banking and commercial banking, and they would like to get into commercial banking, which I was doing at the time.
Sure.
And so every box that they needed, I kind of checked, and it was just a weird, they needed it, I had it, and they convinced me to go over there. I asked that one thing I really asked when we couldn't come together exactly on money was, well, would you pay for my MBA if I do go back to school? Yeah. They did. True to their word, they paid for it. I went back and got my MBA.
Nice.
And I've been here and plan on being here until they kick me out.
Wow.
Yeah.
and just continues to rise now. So you are, when we say you're president of, because when in banking, it's so interesting. You, there's lots of vice presidents and lots of presidents. Could you kind of share with me, where are you in this hierarchy here of the bank?
Right now, the president and CEO is the top person. Yeah. Chairman of the board would be, of course, that's more of a board role, but that's also a top place. Our current CEO, Brad Clark.
Yep.
Had taken over, and Keith Douglas was our president and CEO for many years. Yeah. And when he retired, partially retired at first, Brad became the president.
Yeah.
Keith had remained the CEO and still had some responsibilities at the bank on a part-time basis. And then as he decided, hey, I'm getting used to this. I think I'm ready to golf now. that switched. Then I became the president. Brad was the CEO because he's also got retirement in the crosshairs.
Gotcha.
So next summer, he'll be going to head to Chicago where his family is. And, and to give ourselves plenty of time for those adjustments. That's why the succession's important, and we want to make sure there's no disruption in how we operate.
So that will
be me going forward. So as Brad, he's starting to, peel back some of his responsibilities. And the nice part, Brad was gracious enough on some of the things that Keith was doing. He said, well, it's silly to me, like on our investment portfolio and some what we call ALM or asset liability management. He just said, it's silly for me to do that. And then a couple of years later, I take off. So let's go from Keith to you on some of these. And it's, again, as a community bank, we can do those kind of things and think outside of the box. And so it's, right now Brad's the top dog at CEO with retirement within the year, and then that'll leave me alone. Yeah.
We're talking with C.L. Cummings. He's the president of Tompkins State Bank and Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg, and soon to be president and CEO of.
President for now. And then, if they decide to make me president and CEO at that time, it seems like the natural occurrence.
Yeah, well, great. let's step back and talk about Tompkins. We're talking about community banks. Been around for darn near 200 years.
Yeah, long time. 1884.
Right? 1884.
Yeah, started by Stephen Tompkins and then eventually his brother Albert. And Avon until, I think, 1933, they shut down briefly to recapitalize. Yeah. Opened back up, I think it was 6 months later, and been owned by the community ever since.
That's amazing. Tompkins State Bank is Avon.
Oh there. Yeah, there's yeah. That's about the only thing left in Abingdon. I mean, the sad part about that is, there's always Neff Company down there, and they still
that's
have a
right.
presence.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
And us are probably the main two, but there's others. There's some. Avon's pretty tough. They've got some good businesses down there for a small town, and a lot of good people, good farmers.
Yes.
They're super resilient, even though. There's been some atrophy as kids move on to different places and seek different careers. They're still there, and they're still a big part of what we do.
And Tompkins still a big part of that community.
Yeah,
and you brought up Neffco again.
Yeah, another
Bill was such
a huge
part of.
Yep.
And both of you working together.
Yeah, he was on our board at one time, and that family's great. They're very philanthropic.
Yeah.
All the kids are still kind of carrying on in that vein. Avon's blessed to have them.
Oh, so absolutely. Yeah. So Avon was the only branch for the longest time.
Yeah, until 91.
That's when they moved to opened up the office in Abingdon.
Keith Douglas started that one.
Okay.
And then they decided in 2005-ish is when they contacted me. They'd already kind of had put their pole in the ground out on the, you know, the between Knoxville and Galesburg there where we're located, but when they talked to me, it was just a hayfield, literally. And by the time they, you know, they got me hired, they'd already started moving dirt around. And Keith and I met with all the new prospective employees and selected the staff. And he and I kind of worked together on, you know, decisions on anything from our landscaping all the way down to just when we got the doors open. Yeah. So it was great. He brought me along, let me be part of it. So I've had some ownership in it and just, you know, that pride feeling.
Beautiful bank.
Yeah.
A showplace, really.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Johnson Building System built that at the time. They did a great job and it's held up very well.
Yeah. So then, so Knoxville's in place and going well.
Mm-hmm.
Then the decision was to purchase.
Yeah. Purchase the Community Bank in Galesburg.
Bank in Galesburg.
Yeah,
How did that come about? You were part of that as well.
I helped do the due diligence on that. Yeah. That was Keith and the board had really felt like we were expanding, not just in Knoxville. The funny thing about farmers is you learn they're super loyal.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people that had said, you know, I opened my account there at First National Bank in Knoxville and by God, I just think I'm going to stick around. So we kind of did that. If we build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
And they did eventually. Mostly because the advantages community banks have. But at first, farmers are a very loyal bunch. Okay. And if you stuck with them at some point, even if they've changed names, even if they weren't going to be quick to, I mean, you had to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we had to do. So I had a little easier time at first getting into the Galesburg market because I'd had a portfolio at other banks. Mm-hmm. And you get used to the people, you know, and maybe it wasn't no fault of the bank they were at, but we got along. And so I got some of those relationships over to us, and particularly from my the previous stop at Wells. I'd had a couple really good relationships that followed me, and it started that way. Well, we started to see that, gosh, we're actually getting a little more play in Galesburg than Knoxville at first.
Yeah.
And so they kept thinking, gosh, that Galesburg would really complete this thing for us. And Keith had approached at that time Dean, the prior CEO of the, and said, hey, would you guys ever, and that developed from there. And so we bought those guys in 2008.
Okay.
And now we've grown. I mean, I think when I first got there, we were at $93 million institution. And today we're like, I think we were 310 this morning.
My gosh.
So yeah, it's gone the right direction for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yes.
And we've got a supportive board with local. I mean, that's the great part about this. What I liked about being here is that we are truly locally owned. I mean, I own a small piece, a very small piece of the bank, but so does Brad. I mean, so anybody on our board owns a chunk of the bank, small as it may be, because we're very fragmented. In other words, we have, I think, 13,490 shares owned by 74 family groups.
Yeah,
it's a very, very tightly held organization. It's just people from around here. I mean, our community members are who own us. So, and our community members are our board members. And it's a great way to do business in the communities in which you're living, to have your, not only just the local decisioning, but local ownership, and everybody's a stakeholder, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. C.L. Cummings is the president of Tompkins State Bank. We're talking about the impact of community banking and why it matters. And I appreciate you sharing the history because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
So much growth in just the last 20 years.
Yeah,
less
especially.
Than 20 years.
Yeah, especially.
To have three locations, well, in 30 years, 35 years, to have three locations
spring up.
Spring up like that. That's a lot of growth.
It is. And, you know, it's weird too, Chris, because when you have, like right now, you look around, their M&A activity is high. Like, Illinois, we have the second most chartered banks, just second to Texas.
Okay.
And with the changes that are happening in our industry, there's a lot of consolidation. So there's a lot of banks being bought. But the resiliency of community banks is those of us who are left are people still migrate to the relationship, especially as things get complicated and more, I hate to say more cold and more electronic in some ways. People have those options through a JP Morgan Chase or a Wells Fargo perhaps, but those relationships are meaningful. And especially if, you know, in good times and in bad, we've had to help people learn how to grow their business, had a a situation here a couple of years ago where a guy calls and he says, can I come and talk to you? I said, sure, what's going on? He's like, I have never done more business and I have no cash. This is weird. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. I need help. Somebody help me make sense of this. And after we spent time, he was growing so fast that the dollars he was having to invest back in his was absorbing all his extra cash flow. And we just had to make a plan for it. Yeah. And you know, it's great. A guy like that, who trusted me enough to even ask for one, which
first of all, ask for the help. Yes.
Absolutely. Right. Be smart enough to know, hey, I might need a second set of eyes and trust us enough. And it's not just me. Right? We have the good, when I say we have so many people with deep tenure, I mean, we can settle our seven main lenders around this table and they would all tell you multiple stories like this. That's why I like the bank we're at. It's because we did what I call a cash flow conversion analysis. And we said, okay, here's what you got to do and here's how we can help. And it worked out really well. And they still doing very, very good. They're and employing more people because they expanded well, and which helps, you know, local economies, and Chris, those stories are what make me proud because it's no magic. It's just two people getting together who trust each other and are willing to have a deep conversation and an authentic one. There's other times that I know we had one customer, one more short anecdote. We had a very good business in town that was working with one of my old shops, and this was a big shop. I guess Wells, but the way that they had to conform wasn't really working for Wells, so they sent them to what they call their commercial management group. In that group, they have specialists, and they gave an industry specialist to that company. And they were getting, I think, a little ornery with them, in my view. And I had managed that credit when I was there before and said, hey, could we talk to you and see what? So I gave a little fly.
You got a fly in there.
Yeah. So we sat down and just talked, and they kind of laid their cards on the table, and I got looking at them, and I couldn't escape the thought is I didn't understand why they were the course of dealing and that they had chosen.
Yeah.
And we, after a lot of conversations and a lot of number crunching, we found a different way to structure their company and help them through that.
Yeah.
And within a couple years, I mean, it was night and day. They had really responded. They did all the heavy work. It was just our trying to talk through it together and make some good decisions that we both agreed on. It was good for the bank.
Yeah.
It was good for them. And we moved the relationship over to Tompkins, and it was, it worked remarkably. And here was somebody that if they would have kept going down that road, it's hard to say if they would have been able to stay in business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 'Cause they were being so ornery with them. So that, to me, that's the difference between us community banks and us in particular. I feel like we feel really good about that.
That's right.
And that's how we develop trust. If we don't help a guy when he's having a little issue, you know, that's what provides stability in our economy too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. C.L. Cummings is the president of Tompkins State Bank, and Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg. We're talking about the importance of community banking, why local banks matter. And as you just illustrated with your, a couple of examples there, it's the local decision making.
100%.
That makes that happen.
Yeah.
That you are, if you don't fit, and we'll bring that up again, if you don't fit into a certain mold with these bigger banks, national chains, you're out of luck.
Yeah, you are. And
local community banks make it happen.
Oh, all the time, the time. And we just have that flexibility, and you know, you empower your employees to make a decision instead of, you know, saying, well, gosh, I got to talk to my boss, or I got to run this up the chain. Hey, the underwriter said I couldn't because I've been in them positions, and those are uncomfortable. You work to gain the trust of somebody who's going to let them share their financials with you, kind of open up their, the confidentiality and with all that. And then to be able to I've had that happen where you go back to the individual and say, look, it didn't work in underwriting, and here's maybe how we could do it. And they're like, man, that's not what you said. And you know, you're thinking, gosh, I didn't agree with the decision, but I'm a company man and I've got to support what they say. Yeah. When I came to Tompkins, you know, I was part of I was the decision maker and or the board. So it's so much better because I get to present the case to the board, and they've given Brad and I a ton of trust, and our loan officers, you know, like Mark Tabor in Abingdon, yeah. He's been there for 26, 7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's because they give us, they empower us to do our job and put a lot of trust in us and support us. Yeah. And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. C.L. Cummings is the president of Tompkins State Bank. And we're talking about community banking, supporting local economies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, community banks are often described as economic engines for small towns.
Yeah.
You think of Avon.
Yeah.
That Tompkins is such a part of that. Yes, it founded there in Avon.
But yep.
My gosh. Yeah. Just such a part of the history of that of that town.
Yeah.
When someone deposits money at a community bank, how does that money help the local economy?
Well, in a number of ways. For starters, by doing business with us, we're able to employ more people.
Absolutely.
So
how many?
We're right at 56 right now.
Okay.
We'll probably remain there somewhere between 54 and 56. We got a couple positions open right now, but that's par for the course. But we you know, way back when, I think we were at 16. So as people continue to do business with us, that what we do as true intermediaries, we take depositor money and we lend it back out. That also helps local businesses expand, purchase new equipment, buy farmland, or you know, just even consumers, just mom and pa go buy another retirement home, or you know, or maybe a house in Florida, or I mean, it's endless. But that money stays local. It helps local businesses thrive because we're trying to find places to put it in a responsible way. You know, we still have. We're a conservative bank, and meaning that we don't have a lot of credit loss. We don't, knock on wood. Historically, we've had very clean credit decisions, but that's because we take time to talk to people and find ways to structure it that makes sense for both.
Yeah.
And because you want your customers to succeed, so when you deposit with us, that allows us to do that part. And not that other bigger banks can't lend, but then when you look, okay, well, if you do a good job and you don't screw it up, CL, where do the profits go? Well, it goes back to the employees through bonuses. It goes back to shareholders who have invested in the community.
Yeah.
And it all stays right here. So our ownership base is mostly right here and, you know, all the way from Avon to Galesburg. So that's how,
right.
So all of it stays here. So when you deposit, it really helps.
Yeah. CL Cummings is the president of Tompkins State Bank in Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg. Community banking in a digital age. Some people think that, you know, they may think that bigger banks automatically just have better technology. And while that might have been true many years ago, that gap has narrowed quite a bit.
It's narrowed quite a bit in our offerings.
Yeah,
there are certain things that they can do still, perhaps, that we don't, but it's very small.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you have a very complicated, what we'd call treasury management or something relationship that, it would have to be honestly pretty large because we can handle it and we have all the cool tools. Now, how are we able to do that? We contract with big core providers is what you call them, like Fiserv or Jack Henry. And we're able to, they're vertically integrated enough to that you're able to offer all the same things.
Gotcha.
So, and then you have to have the people to make it happen. And we, at Tompkins, we've kind of made the determination to higher up on the food chain a little bit. It does cost us a little more, but we feel like those individuals with that kind of experience and tenure, our customers feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when you go to the Ace Hardware and you talk to the old guy who you're saying, well, man, I've got this pipe problem. And he's like, no, here's what you need. Here's how you do it. Now you're going to take this here and you're going to do this. And they walk you through the whole thing. Whereas if you go to a big box, you know, you get the kid that's just trying to work his way through college and he's never done one of those. So it's kind of that theory,
yes.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Cybersecurity.
Big deal.
Big deal. Yeah. And another concern people hear about frequently, how are community banks working to protect customer information?
That's an all day thing. And again, not to be overly repetitive, but we have good people. Kelly's been there for 26, 7 years and, I mean, people have been there so long, I'm losing track of the exact dates, but we're talking over a couple decades.
Yes.
Tammy and our and our compliance area. Those two areas in our bank work together, and we've contracted out the things that we're not good at. So server maintenance and that sort of thing, and that those kind of protections, we've invested heavily into those things. And our IT, of course, you're always doing things to remain vigilant. So you're having outside groups come in and try to, you know, penetrate, test you and see, can we get in? Can we, can we disturb your firewall? Can we, what can we do? What can we get away with? And we pay them to do that. We, you know, and then of course we're regulated like anybody else. So the feds and the state folks come in and they do those kind of tests too, because they want to make sure that, that we're well secure.
Sure.
The company we went with is very much bank centric, so they understand how important that is. And then on the biggest thing, the biggest weakest link any cybersecurity person will tell you is the actual people, because they will make a mistake. It's kind of like when you click on some link that you just didn't realize was, it's something like that. That's where you're most vulnerable.
Yeah.
So we train, talk about it. And in fact, we send out spoofing emails on purpose to try to trick people into clicking on something. And we get getting better and better at it. Whereas, you know, you get something and you look at that and you think, okay, I'll click on that because I might be expecting that from this customer, from this vendor. And then it pops up, hey, we caught you. Now you got to go do the training.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
C.L. Cummings is from president of Tompkins State Bank, talking about cybersecurity. And you also are alerting your customers on these scams that are out there all the time.
And whether it's through Facebook and direct contact, we see it all. I mean, it's anything that you're hearing about in the news, we're seeing. They're getting, with AI, it's getting more and more sophisticated. They're replicating things that, it's very difficult at times to tell, even if we're seeing this every day. I've had an older couple in my office here a few months back, and they were like, I think we might have messed up.
Oh boy.
And as we talked through it, it was a bill that they would expect to have gotten, but they thought they paid. And somehow, some way, it was a spoof email. They took a shot, and these folks kind of fell for it and immediately started to discover, I think this feels wrong, and shut their computer off and wanted to talk. They came in and they wanted to talk to the bank president.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I knew them a little bit, but not well. But we got to know each other pretty well. And we got them, we kind of gave them a course to try to limit the damage and that sort of thing. And they didn't lose money, I don't believe. I think there was one piece of it that we were a little bit worried about, but that mostly they were safe.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly how that turned out, but that I remember being relieved that it wasn't much worse than what it was.
Well, it's good to know that your local community bank is looking out for you
with
those, because it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
They're always looking for ways to get to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, Chris, we've had people that are so convinced that things are real.
Yeah.
We had one customer who wanted to wire a big chunk of money and it already wired a little bit.
We
didn't do it. The second one, they came in and said, hey, this is something I want to invest in. And we said, listen, and she was prideful, maybe even a little embarrassed, but basically said, this is my money. You're going to do what I ask you to do. And we said, we try to explain. I mean, that's so sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
But with all the respect we could give her and with all the warnings we could try to walk her through, she was irritated. The good news was she called and complained to her daughter, who called us immediately and said, thank you.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was it was a big chunk of her money.
Oh, my gosh.
She worked hard for her whole life for that. There's no reason to give it to a scammer.
Doggone it. We're talking with C.L. Cummings. He is the president of Tompkins State Bank in Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg. In our final couple minutes here. First of all, thank you so much for
thanks for having
time.
Me. This is fun. Absolutely.
You're busy. And you know what? I'd love to have you come back and talk about that fraud
and
scams.
Anytime.
We could spend the whole time. We
could spend a whole afternoon on it.
And lots of good information for people that they need. So we need to work on that.
You bet.
But I want to talk about the future of community banking. What are some of the biggest opportunities that you see for community banks in the future?
You know, we've really been testing some AI and our vendors are using AI, and it's scary. You use it kind of at once, but going, man, this is spooky. And at the same time, you're using it going, this is really cool. Because I think what that's going to help us do, probably some of our biggest issues are just what we talked about, cyber fraud, but the cost of compliance. We can have these things reviewing policies. We can have these things doing different things to make sure we're tight, to make sure things are good. This might take somebody hours to go through. It can be done in seconds.
Yeah.
We're testing ways all the time that we can use that in a responsible way. We, because of cybersecurity, got to be very careful of what's input into the models. But yeah. I mean, just as the bank president, if I'm running through, investing decisions and I want to investigate quickly an investment option, a bond I'm looking at, you can actually upload that to, and just say, hey, you know, evaluate this investment.
Yeah.
And typically that's me just in a piece of paper, reading through things, scribbling things pretty quick, deciding if I want to invest the bank's money. And that, if we have a little extra cash at some time to put it in the market, we buy very safe bonds and things like that. But it's just little things like that you can use that speed up decision making, make it more crisp. And we're testing ways to do that. I don't rely on any of it right now because I don't trust it all. But
sure.
But we are modeling things. I think the whole point of that, Chris, is that's going to be able to take community banks into the future and level the playing field even more.
Yeah.
It'll allow us to be where we struggle is because we have to employ enough people to do some of the things that bigger banks have truncated, maybe they can do with less people because of their sheer size. I think this will help level that playing field. We'll be able to do it with perhaps a little bit less investment in that side of it, or in infrastructure and that side, or especially outside services that we currently pay for. That'd be the big one.
Sure.
So we're able to do things that will help us be more efficient, help us do our jobs in a little bit better way, and allow us to spend more time doing what we're good at, spending time with people. Because as things become more and more digitized and integrated into models, I think there's going to be people that are going to be out there, probably a bigger chunk than people can appreciate, saying, I really still just want to go talk to the guy. And as all those other guys continue to embrace digital, we will too. But I think that's going to open up even a better segment of people that want to just come talk to somebody and be sure. And that's where our home run swing really is.
Excellent. Yeah. C.L. Cummings, president of Tompkins State Bank in Avon, Abingdon, Knoxville, and Galesburg. Thank you so much for what you
thanks
do for our
having
communities.
Yeah, thanks for
such
having us.
Such good friends to our community, good friends of the radio station for many, many years. And
yeah.
We appreciate you, and I hope you come back and talk to us
anytime,
soon.
Chris. I appreciate that very much.